to Mind City Minutes, and today we got a real special guest, James Ouellette, who is our ADA coordinator for Beat Silverbow. First, I'd just like to welcome you, James, and ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you to Butte.
Thank you, Chief Executive Gallagher. Yeah, I've been in Butte now for coming up to 2 years. I moved out west, the great hope of the West, right? After COVID, I kind of joined a lot of people and moved. There was a big migration out west, and there was hope out here and work. And I landed into Butte sort of accidentally. I lived in Bozeman for a little bit and it just wasn't a good fit. And then I went to Big Sky and I said, definitely not my fit. But Butte has such a Midwest feel, like Detroit or Pittsburgh. It's very blue collar, very industrial. And it just felt right. So my partner's here and that's how I ended up in Butte. But I originally grew up in Canada. Lived in Canada for about 26 years. I worked in their world of disability work. I worked with the Canadian Deaf Blind Association there right out of high school, where I was a trained blind deaf intervener. So I have a family member who is deaf. So I knew American Sign Language. I was diagnosed with a disability when I was 7 years old. And so I received special funding. I received a special education through my schooling. And then it only makes sense afterwards, after high school, that I went to work with people with disabilities. It was interesting to go through a schooling program when you're a person with a disability, though mine was more learning disability, being more neurodivergent. But it was great because in our program, we had all types of people with disabilities. So we had people who maybe weren't very mobile, maybe they had some auxiliary aids with them, and you had a whole group of us with all different types of disabilities, but we all kind of leaned on each other and kind of formed a community. So after that, after I graduated high school, I worked there for a while and then eventually moved to America and became an American citizen and became a certified American ADA coordinator and ended up in Butte. And now I'm the ADA coordinator here. So it's been a great journey. It's both a personal journey and a professional one too. The personal thing I can't separate from my part of the story. I'm from a family of helpers. My dad was a fireman. My brother currently lives in Cambodia. He's a Christian missionary. He's worked with the deaf population there. My sister's a Christian missionary. She lived in Honduras. And so when I went down there, I worked a little bit with the deaf population in Honduras. My mom, she's also a Christian preacher, minister. So I'm from a big family of helpers. My dad always instilled that into us as kids. If you want to go be changed, you can make a difference in your own community, in your own little area. And I love local government.
That's awesome. We're so thankful that you're here, James. I mean, you hit the ground running when you got hired. We started talking about ADA. And as you talk about that, disabilities run the gamut, right? A lot of people think about somebody that's disabled, it's about mobility, but it's so much more than just mobility needs and things within the community. I don't know if anybody isn't touched by somebody that doesn't have a disability if they don't have a disability themselves. And I think it's been talked about many times. We all at some time or another in our life are going to fit that definition of disabled. So working together with you, I've learned so much about ADA and what we need to do here in Butte Silver Bow and what are the things that we're lacking and how can we improve? Because, you know, we live in a community that has a lot of resources, a lot of different facilities and stuff, but what are we doing to make sure that we're addressing the needs of our community? And luckily, we hired you. You've been in constant contact with me and really talking about implementing a transition plan for Butte Silver Bow. And can you talk about that a little bit? What is a transition plan?
We're a Title II. There's five titles of the ADA: employment. Title II is public entities, so state or local governments. And then we have public places of accommodation. So those really first three are really important elements that I focus on, mostly Title II. Part of Title II is that after the ADA was passed, anniversary of that will be tomorrow, 34 years. In 1990, the local governments and state governments were given an opportunity to evaluate, do a self-evaluation of all their programs, services, activities, facilities, park, and then create a transition plan to kind of transition from a non-compatible, non-ADA compliant into the new standards. So right now we are working with an organization, a consulting group called the WT Group out of Chicago. They're have lawyers and they have people who are all certified and really understanding what our community needs to do. Butte, Silver Bow, much like Detroit and Pittsburgh and cities that I've worked at, sometimes when you have things that have impacted a community, such as Superfund, or you have something as a great migrate of people when they leave the city. And so you might have 100,000 people, and now you have 30,000 people in a community. That impacts the community into something that we call competing priorities, right? So what is the city's priority? What is a competing priority? Fire, police, and that's your job that I don't envy at all, and how to rate all those priorities and put them into a budget. Absolutely no negative commentary on past chief executives, but sometimes things like ADA and civil rights and accessibility, sometimes those things get done on more of a one-off thing, or we'll work on it when we can, or to their best intention, sometimes get put on a lower priority list. So when I came and met with you, I kind of gave you the bill of saying, hey, this is what we're missing. This is what needs to be done. And it's always a kind of scary conversation when you just get to a new place of employment and you're like, hey, you guys have been doing a really good effort on this, but we're missing some really big things. And to your testimony, you said, okay, well, we'll have to get that done if that's important to us. And it's important not only for accessibility, but for things like grant funding, for things like making sure that we're in compliance with federal and with state statute. So to your credit, you said, okay, let's do it. And it's not an overnight process. It's going to take years, 5, 10, 15 years up until then, but it's a good place to start now. And Butte has been doing its best job possible. It can be doing better. When I, you know, lived next to Detroit, and Detroit was going through all the hard financial times and bailout, and I remember 2007, 2008, and it was infecting so many places, and so many people got hard on the city. Why isn't the city doing this, and why isn't the city doing that? Sometimes it's just surviving, and it's just thriving, and I see that with Butte. It has a great community of support, and sometimes it had to put on the, like, let's just survive hat. And now, as we are growing into this now thriving community with businesses coming up, and we get to take a step back and relook at all these policies, look at all these procedures and says, okay, now let's, as we're entering this new era of Butte, this new rebirth, now we can build accessibility into the design moving forward. Now it's a priority for us. So acknowledge that we can always be doing better in the past, but we got to look ahead.
You know, James, you're exactly right. And that became a real priority in this administration, and brought forth by you to me and to the commissioners. That it's kind of funny, because even in the commissioner meeting, it's like, well, ADA coordinator, why don't you just go out and do this transition plan? But I don't think people realize the size and scope of being able to do that. And could James go out and do that and evaluate properties? Yeah, that is something that he could do, but it would take years and years. And instead of working on, okay, what's our priority list? We're going to come out of this with this transition plan that is much needed. It needed to be updated. And as we talked about, to be able to access grant funding. And this plan ultimately could pay for itself by going out and making the different grant programs available to our community and for the ADA community for us. It's not a one-man show that you can go out and do this. This has to be a team effort, and has to be a team effort with Butte Silver Bow. And so although James is our ADA coordinator, he lines us up, he takes care of the things that we need to do locally and make sure that we are covering all the things we need to do in Butte Silver Bow. It's a big project. And so this transition plan is huge for us. And with that, we've allocated money to get this done. And we went out and solicited an RFP and found the WT group that to do this. And we got two proposals. One was almost four times as much as the other one. And the background and the knowledge of this group was the right fit for Butte. Kind of speak to what are they doing? What are they doing right now?
So right now they're out. I was with them this morning in Clark Park. We were at Father Sheehan this morning, and they're measuring slopes and sidewalks and measuring accessible routes from the parking lot into the park, into the tennis courts, into the baseball diamonds. And so they have their levels out there. They're looking in grades and slopes. They're looking at what types of programs and services are there, and how can they be accessible. So from ADA washrooms and facilities and bathrooms that are there to ADA compliant parking spaces and then to the recreational areas. They have gotten through most of all of our parks. They had a list and they sent me an update. I think they did like 23 parks and four. They have a team of five that came out here. And so they have all their tools and they just kind of attack it head on. And then from there, they're going to move on to our sidewalks and our public right-of-ways and then our facilities. And so they're going to go around and look at areas in some of our historic buildings and our new buildings. And then they're also going to examine our program services and activities, our policies and procedures. So looking at not just these physical places, but how we are also conducting ourselves when we offer a festival, when we do something like the Folk Fest or Henri Ra. Are we collaborating and making sure that there's accessible parking and that there's an accessible venue and those kind of things too? So, and it could be anything. It could be anything from talking to a lawyer, talking to a county attorney, to an event. So any kind of program, service, or activity, paying a water bill, they cover everything that we're doing. They're going to take all their findings. They're going to put it together in an evaluation report. They're going to have some community outreach and hear from the community. What's your feedback? What are your priorities? What are things that we can't physically see or measure that we can hear from you? So a big part of a self-evaluation transition plan is really that community engagement part. Once that's all done, they're going to prepare it. They're going to show us what needs to be done, put a priority list together, and then present it to us and show us exactly how much it's going to cost and then how to allocate that for the next 10, 15 years.
It's just fantastic work that we're going through right now and be able to have outside eyes looking at what our needs and our issues are in local government. I know you and I did a walking audit of Uptown Butte and we know the challenges of Uptown Butte. We're built on a hill. It's hard to meet the requirements sometimes. Like if you went into San Francisco and say that you can't go down on the street, you guys got to make this accessible. There's some things that you can't do, but you can make accommodations to make it as accessible as possible because of the historic nature and where you are located at as well. And we know there's challenges that we're not going to be able to meet what the measure is, but the intent to make sure that we are working towards ADA compliance.
Yeah. And that's, I think, a big lesson with ADA is to look at it. It's a civil rights law. So before the ADA was passed, they had the 504 Rehabilitation Act, Architectural Barriers Act, but they were having a hard time getting these supported and, more importantly, enforced. They would roll this out. They did a lot of great advocacy work for 504, and then it gets passed, and then it gets really hard to implement. Transportation people would be like, it's going to cost us $1 million to get elevators and all the subways, or it's going to ruin our route times. And so they would fight it out in court, and it really had no bearings. These laws that were passed were good in nature, but the enforcement was never really there. When the ADA came along, it came in almost like the civil rights law, where it was like, this is now, you are discriminating against a group of people. So it changes the whole conversation, and it really puts the burden on us to say, if we say no, or if we say we can't do this, or we say, for whatever reason, this is not possible, we have to explain ourselves, we have to give options, we have to make sure that we show all of our work, because if it happens that they come back and say, the Department of Justice calls us, they want to know why we are saying no, or what type of modifications we have to offer. And that's another thing why this transition plan is so good, because they're going to look at our policies and procedures. Sometimes we do have policies and procedures that worked for a period of time but are no longer applicable. If we go to the heart of it, we say, am I discriminating against someone? Is this decision, am I discriminating against a person with a disability? And can I show my work? To have that conversation. That's what's important to me, is that conversation of saying, like, let's try to get to a place of equal understanding. Yeah, some things are impossible. Some things we have technical and feasible forms for Uptown Butte, because the grade on a slope is supposed to be 8.33, and that is impossible. So when we do pavement, me and Zane Gleason out there, I'm so lucky for him. He's our compliance inspector, and we do a lot of these projects together when it's regarding, public works. And we're out there and we're saying, how close can you get this? Can you get this to, running parallel to the street level? Well, that's great. The ADA allows for that. sometimes you can't meet the exact standards, but the ADA wants to see that there is an effort made into that. And it's important to educate the community, because we're doing our self-evaluation, we're doing our transition plan, we're kind of setting the bar right now for local businesses and businesses that want to come into Uptown Butte saying, hey, listen, we're Title II, but there's Title III that requires a lot from you as a public business and a public place of accommodation. We offer education programs. I'm a certified ADA trainer. I have trained under the Cornell University has an ADA network of national trainers. They follow a program through Cornell University. Once a year, they go through a certification process and a training process. I have that accomplished in offering, like, if someone comes in and says, hey, what can I do to this building to make it accessible? That needs to happen at the very start. Before you purchase a building, take a look, and then also take a look at the ADA checklist and say, okay, this is a great, beautiful, historic building. And if I'm going to make all these renovations, what kind of ADA accessible things am I going to need right from the start? And how is that? That's why I work with Kate McCourt all the time, who's our historic preservation office, because yeah, there is briefs from the Department of the Interior that talk about historically modifying buildings to make them ADA compatible. So how do we do that? Those are all conversations and trainings that part of the ADA coordinator job we can offer to the community. But we want people to follow our lead in our self-evaluation and transition plan. I hope that this inspires people to go back to their business and say, hey, what can I do? What can I do? There are five titles to the ADA. So employment, which really protects people from not getting hired due to their disability, right? So if someone's in a wheelchair, that we're not discriminating against them. Public service, public entities, public places, state governments, local governments, transportation. We have public places of accommodation, so hotels, restaurants, medical facilities, telecommunications, and then miscellaneous provisions are number five. They have, for all of that, they really follow two big, they have the original ADA that came out, 1990 was signed. And then from there, we also have the 2010 accessible design standards, where it really shows, that's really where you get into the weeds of like door handle weight and how to really design a building. Now, if you have a building that has always stayed the same that you're not renovating, obviously the ADA still wants you to be compatible with it. But as soon as you start to renovate that building or you start to make alterations or changes, you need to then now comply with the 2010 standards. Our planning department, I know Julia's team is very well educated in this. I offer technical assistance. I should always say that before anytime I talk about it. So the ADA coordinator offers technical assistance. Nothing I ever say can be legally binding. Nothing I ever say can be enforceable. I have no power as the ADA coordinator, but I can work between different departments. And a lot of times it's someone saying, we want to do on-street parking. What are the requirements for the number of spots I get? And then I reference the standards and then say, this is the standard. And then how can we make this applicable in Butte Silver Bow?
I think anybody that's listening to this understands the love and compassion you have for ADA. And it comes through. And when you and I work together, and you always report to me, and I so appreciate that. And you come in and say, this is what I'm doing. Is it all right? There is always this passion that you're doing the right thing for the community at all times, looking out for the best interests of the community. And that's not saying the government, that's saying the community as a whole, that looking out for the best interests of the community. And we're just fortunate to have you come on board at a time that we needed an ADA coordinator. It was very timely. And I appreciate working with you and learning about ADA, because there's so many different aspects to it that we may think that we're doing the right thing, but there may be something that we're missing, and understanding what that might be. It's truly a pleasure to work with you. I know that every day that you come to work, you're a ball of energy, and you love what you do, and it shows every single day.
Thank you. And thank you for making an effort to understand and not just talking about it. I think working in local government over these past years, sometimes it is very frustrating because there's a lot of promises. I ask for two things. Anytime in advocacy work, I ask for two things. Let's see the budget commitment and let's see the policy commitment. And working with you, we're building a foundation. And I think sometimes maybe members of the community might not be able to see it, because when we do policy and budgetary, sometimes it's not the big glamorous things. It's not the one-off wins. It's not this, that, or the other thing. But what we're doing is we're looking at the system and trying to redesign the system so that Butte Silver Bow is an accessible place for everyone. And I can only bring that idea, but it took your commitment. You tell me, you show me a community's budget, and I will tell you what that community's priorities are. In 2026, when we look after, we're going to see the budget. We're going to see things that have ADA in that budget. And that's thanks to you and thanks to your intentional design behind this. And it's not promises and it's not one-off things, but it's a structural design. So I am very thankful to be working for someone who has the courage to dare greatly and to say, we need to change these things at a fundamental structural level. Takes time. It's not big in wins and glamour right away, but what we're doing is going to be very beneficial. So I appreciate that, sir.
Yeah, no, James, it's having a plan. This is where we're going. We're going to have a plan. We'll have a priority list, and then we're going to make sure that we're doing right by the community. And so financial investment into the future of our community. And I think that's a high priority in this administration. And thanks to you, we have a plan going forward. And once again, keep up the good work. Stay the course on what we're doing here, because sometimes the public doesn't see it, and sometimes we get beat up a little bit because the public doesn't understand the plan that's going on. But I sure appreciate everything that goes on, and we're lucky to have you in Butte Silver Bow.
I'm lucky to be here.
Next up on Mind City Minutes, we will be talking to the Behavioral Health Local Advisory Council. So look forward to that, and see you next time on Mind City Minutes.